linebacker, and a man of leisure.
This doesn't even make sense.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
On a football Friday, we like to talk to Tim May. We're going to do so now on the Brian Hootie Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Our great friend Tim May, right here at the Fan Tailgate Show in Letterman Road, joins us. Tim, all right, let's just go with the idea of this will be the only ranked opponent Ohio State will play until hopefully the Big Ten championship game. So with that in mind, and knowing that other teams have played a bunch of games, does it matter what it looks like for Ohio State on Saturday, or is a win enough?
Oh, man, you and your hypotheticals, man, I'm just messing with you. You got to get the win, that's for damn sure. You got to stay among the undefeated, you know. I think there's a movie named that. But you got to stay among the undefeated. And then as much gravy, you know, staying in the Thanksgiving motif, as much gravy as you can pile on the top of the potatoes and the turkey and the green bean casserole, the better you are. You know that, but you know, I'm sticking with my what I've been telling you guys all along. If Ohio State gets to 7-0, 6-0, 7-0, 8-0, you know, I think it's in the college football playoff. Where it will be seated, I think, is more the question, you know, at this point. But yeah, I mean, you got to get the dub. Top 10 matchup, no matter what anybody wants to say at the end of it all, you can't take that away from this matchup. Indiana is one of the hot teams in the country that nobody saw coming. I didn't see this coming. I mean, I thought they'd be pretty good, but I didn't see it coming where they've already beaten two blue bloods and they could have an unprecedented third blue blood pelt on their belt by the time they leave Ohio Stadium on Saturday. You know, that's crazy. They've never done that before at Indiana. So I think you have to take all that in consideration. You're playing a team that's hot, an unexpected team, and you're coming off a COVID-19 sit-out weeks. So I think getting the dub is the one thing, and then, like I said, pour on the gravy.
I mean, you just made me hungry. I mean, it's been a while since breakfast, brother.
Me too.
My goodness. Tim, what's the one area that you're going to be watching closely, you know, when it comes to this matchup? Is it Indiana's wide receivers who have made some plays, contested balls? Is it them against our DBs? Is it our ground game? What's the one area that you're going to be zoomed in on?
Just like you, I'm as Ohio State really, you know, truly just shut down a passing attack. I'm talking about when you have decent pressure, but guys can run routes. I mean, have the corners truly been outstanding to date? I don't think so. You know, I include Sean Wade. I don't know if you agree or not. I mean, I'm looking at that aspect of it. I'm looking at the way Michael Penix Jr., and I keep going back to this, and I'm going to reiterate, the last possession in regulation against Penn State onward, he has been a different quarterback. With that said, the last several games, he's gotten away with quite a few passes thrown into traffic, where I think guys, you know, Freifogel, man, do not discount that guy. That guy wants to catch the ball and then score with it, you know, every time. Whip Fillior, I mean, what a name. Wop Fillior, excuse me, what a name. That Whip's probably his brother. But, but you know, those guys are big play, man, potential. And they got a good running back, you know, Scott. So, I mean, they've got good balance. But what you want to see is Ohio State going against a team that's going to come in probably with the intent of throwing the ball, you know, to win the game. Can Ohio State handle that assault? I'm as curious as anybody to see that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the matchup, right, Tim? I mean, it's the secondary. It's our ability to get home. Tommy Togiai leads us in sacks. We've not been able to get pressure around the outside. I think back to the Penn State game and the type of pressure that they were able to get on Penix around the edge. Are you surprised there hasn't been? I mean, we're spoiled, right? You're not entitled to go Bosa, Chase Young. But have you been a little bit surprised that there hasn't been a little bit of a step up coming from that defensive end position?
Interestingly, I thought Tyreek Smith was going to be a guy that was really just going to step out a little bit this year, you know, finally healthy, totally healthy, et cetera. I'm not sure that's been the case yet. Zach Harrison, you know, everybody knows he is a work in progress at defensive end, but you see progress every week from him, you know, from the outstanding ability You know, but I really think Ohio State's incorporated a little bit of a different tack. You know, I've talked about this before this week on at LettermanRow.com, is that, you know, they're intent on, and I think this has been a swing in a lot of teams defensively, they're intent on bringing immediate pressure any way they can get it from the A-gap area of the field, which causes these quarterbacks, you know, that are even the scrambling type quarterbacks, they've got to do something immediately, either get rid of the ball or make a move, you know, within a second and a half. And I think Tommy Togiai, Haskell Garrett, and then some of the blitz packages Ohio State has incorporated with Duff Borland and Pete Werner especially have really enhanced that. But then what you want is you don't want your with that kind of philosophy, you don't want your defensive ends just coming up field, you know, like Alonzo Spellman. Now, I take that, you know, he was over rushing 10 yards or five years into the NFL. But you know what I mean? You don't want them just going willy-nilly. You want them kind of holding sway on the edges so that Michael Penix Jr. can't scramble out. But you don't want to give Michael Penix Jr. or Sean Clifford, you know, with Penn State, that ability to step up and run up through the gut of your defense. And I think Ohio State's done a pretty good job of that.
Tim, I wonder, is it tough? I mean, you've been covering Ohio State football forever, and there's always a tailback, right? There's always a dude, more years than not. And I get the sense that Coach Day is looking around the college football landscape and in his own locker room and saying, we got Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and some tight ends who are some dudes. And we don't need to run the football. We don't need to have one guy that runs it for 200 yards, right? We don't need a JK. We don't need a Zeke. Do you feel the Bucs can win this way, right? Run the football. I mean, they still ran for over 200 against Rutgers. And you think that we've just been overly spoiled as Ohio State fans to where we expect to have a guy like Beanie or Zeke or one of those cats back there?
You know, the way, James, you cover game. I mean, you watch games, you played the game. But the way teams are coming after Ohio State offensively, I mean, and you're going to see it times two this week with the blitz packages that Indiana's going to throw at them. It's almost like every blitz is a different blitz. You know what I mean? There's no rhyme or reason almost the way they come after it. And I think that has done a good job of confusing Ohio State's zone running attack. I mean, from the standpoint of just happened to be in the right place at the right time a lot of the times. With that said, you know, and Ryan Day even said this, you know, when you're averaging about 200 yards rushing, you're still doing a pretty good job. You know, I mean, when you throw in the my favorite word today is the gravy of Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and, you know, Justin Fields, you know, but you've still got to be able to run a little bit. I think we've seen signs of it coming along. You know, there's nobody confusing Master Teague III with J.K. Dobbins. Master Teague III is a put his foot in the ground, cut and go guy. And sometimes those guys still have to have some patience. I thought Eddie George was pretty much that kind of fella. Developing that patience behind your offensive line, because there are going to be seams no matter what somebody does blitzing wise. And there are going to be seams you can take advantage of, but you got to be a little bit even patient in that regard. Now, but I think the more Master Teague III plays, the better he's going to be. Trey Sermon's the guy, really, for me, my jury's still out on, you know, does he have the confidence that he had before his knee injury? I'm not sure I have seen that yet. You know, I'm talking about last year when he was at Oklahoma. So, I think they have the ingredients to have a – when you look at the offensive line and, you know, Harry Miller's learning on the job, but he went through a tough time the last time we saw him. But, you know, he's a smart guy. He's going to learn. And then you got Wyatt Davis. I mean, they have the ability to control that middle of the field, and if you can get that going with the way their tackles are playing, yeah, I think you'll get a running game that you can be proud of, that the passing game can be proud of by the end of this season.
Tim, you're the best, my friend. Appreciate your time.
Hey, it's always a pleasure with you guys. And, by the way, it looks like Blake Hallbauer is still dealing with football symptoms. So that's where it is right now.
Oh, there you go. See? Even a
don't one of a
I love that line, man.
Just one
I
of a
love that
it's a good
line.
It's a good one, yeah. Enjoy yourself. Thanks for your time, buddy.
All right. See you, fellas.
Tim May of the Fan Tailgate Show in Letterman Row, right here on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.